That prayer, Randy, that was good. I do enjoy hearing different people pray and the things that they say. And so he had a lot in that one and a lot for us to think about, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, Mike will be gone Wednesday also, and then he'll be back and have his regular schedule. I think that's the last gospel meeting he'll be preaching for a while until we set up another one. So I'll be here in his stead. This evening, we're going to talk about understanding judging. And we're going to explore typical phrases some people use when they're talking about, you know, judging something or judging somebody. I've got four of them. And it's talking to somebody, they may say, "Who am I to judge?" is what you hear about the subject of judging. Or, "We're not to judge another person." Just saying, we're just not to judge another person. We just have to let them be. Or that we should not bind our ways on someone else. So you hear something and you're saying something scripturally and they say, "Well, you know, we're not to bind ourselves on them," whatever they're doing. Or we should not judge others for the way they believe. That's another, you know, four of the most common that I've found. As God's people, we must learn, and we're told that we have to draw that line in the sand when it comes to scriptural matters, when it comes to righteousness and what God expects. After that 6-month class we had, we understand that we are to know the scriptures and we're to talk with people about them, and if the subject were to arise, we are to make a judgment. But with those things being said, with these types of phrases used, we can know that people don't want to take a scriptural stance when they say those things. When they say, "Well, you know, we're not, who am I to judge?" But if you have the scriptures behind you, then we're going to find out that we are to make a judgment. And the first one I'd like to talk about is in Matthew 7. We have a phrase. The most famous of them all, even non-religious people quote this one. So you're talking about scripture and it doesn't align with their perhaps their beliefs. And they say, "Well, judge not, lest ye not be judged." Lest ye be not judged. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, that solves everything then. So as Christians, do we not have the right to judge another person? Is what we're going to explore tonight. We're going to take a look at that. Because when we come across these things and these phrases, it kind of, you hear it and you might say, "Well, maybe you're right. Oh, I don't know." So we're going to put all that to bed tonight. To answer the question, we're going to turn, of course, to scriptures to find out what it says about judging and what judging really means. As a matter of fact, we're going to find out that there are categories of judging that we're to participate in. We're going to take a look at that tonight. And don't worry, there's only three. In preacher school, they say, don't tell them how many points you have, because if you take 20 minutes on the first one and you've got four, they're going to go, "Oh, what's going on?" It's just a habit people have. So I've only got three, and they won't take very long. All right. So if we say to someone, we're talking about judging, and we're in a conversation or whatever the circumstance may be, if we say to someone, "Well, that person is sinning," then they're going to say, "Well," that's when the phrases come up, "Well, who are you to judge, you know?" And they start with that. If we were to say the same thing, "Someone is righteous," there'd be applause coming from that person, no matter what you're saying, because if it's a positive thing, well, they're not going to say, "Well, you can't judge. Who are you to judge if that person is righteous or not?" It just doesn't go the other way. So another one is, if you say to someone that person is lost, because of what you know about them through the scriptures, there's going to be another war. "Whoa, you can't do that. You know, you shouldn't bind your ways on someone else. You can't judge that person." But if you say again on the other side of the coin is, "This person is saved," they have no problem with that. So these are all examples of judgments you're making. You're making a judgment according to the scriptures if that person is righteous, if they're saved, or if they're lost, or if they're sinning. If a person is turned away, or a person has been regained, the negative and the positive, they shun away from the negative, and they accept the positive. But both sides, we have to understand, are judgments that are made. So most people condemn the statements that are in the negative realm and praise the positive ones. A lot of people, when faced with tough love situations, is generally when this kind of thing comes up, a judgment call. Using judgment, they use judgment to bow out of doing what's right. So you see something, you want to say something, and you say, well, what am I, you know, who am I to judge, right? I guess I shouldn't go up to that person and say that to them. So that's the idea of discipline and facing them face to face and giving a judgment. A lot of times we're not going to want to do that. But the Bible tells us we must make judgments. We'll look at three different types of judgments. There's the three of them are this. There's hypocritical judgments. There are opinion, judgments on opinions. And then there's righteous judgment. So those are the three we're going to take a look at. Of course, the first one will be the hypocritical idea of judging. And that obviously is condemned. Jesus speaks of this kind of judgment in Matthew 7, starting in verse 1. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. He says this. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." That's the big phrase everybody pulls out. And then we're going to find out what that means. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye." So this whole time he's talking about hypocritical judgment. You've got to look at yourself. And he says in verse 5, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So there's three things we're going to look at in this passage alone. Jesus warns us to be careful and clean up our lives, then proceed to our brother, and that's in verse 2. You have to compare. What am I about to say? Do I do this? You know, look at yourself, he says in verse 2, before you help your brother. And then in verse 4, Jesus does not condemn us in that verse for finding the speck in the brother's eye or wanting to help the brother in verse 4. It says, "How wilt thou say to thy brother, if you don't take, you know, let me pull out the mote, if you don't take care of yourself first?" So the idea of finding a problem isn't an issue. Jesus only condemns in this case, the hypocritical judgment that the person is making, because they're not looking at themselves and they're doing exactly what they say the other person is. So we are to not participate in hypocritical judgment, we're to look inward and compare ourselves to what we're about to make a judgment call upon. There's nothing wrong with removing the speck. We need to do it lawfully. That's the big thing. It has to be a lawful removal of the brother's sin. And there's plenty of things it talks about in the Bible. We're going to take a look at a couple here. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault." So if you see a person overtaken in a sin or a fault, what are you supposed to do? Who am I to judge? You don't do that. You have to go. "Ye which are spiritual," it says, and this tells you how to do it when you see this happen to a brother, "restore such a one," and he tells us how to restore him, "in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself," or thyself, "lest thou also be tempted." So before you make a move, you see somebody overtaken in a fault, then you have to look at yourself and say, okay, can I help this person? Can I do this in the right way? Through meekness, considering yourself and what this person may be going through before you make that judgment. So yes, you are to make a judgment. It also says in that same, in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we are to take a look at each other's burdens and make a judgment on that and do it with meekness, considering yourself. It put basically put yourself in their shoes before you go to that person. Okay. Now, in James 5, and starting in verse 19 and 20, it gives us another example of this. So, James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. So, they're talking about err from the truth. If somebody errs from the truth, you make a judgment, that's an error. It's stepping away from the truth. You have to make these types of calls, knowing the scriptures yourself. It says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. These are examples of righteous judgment that has to be made. You convert somebody and you save them from death, and the idea of hiding a multitude of sins is if you don't convert them back, then what's going to happen after this sin? There's a whole multitude of sins to follow once you go down that path. So you'll be hiding those. You'll be putting those away if you can stop the brother then at that time. So there's two examples right there of righteous judgment, which not hypocritical. So definitely hypocritical judgment is a sinful thing, and we're not to participate in that. Okay, also, we have in Romans 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same things. He's talking here once again about hypocritical judgment, not what we just read about. But we, in verse 2, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. So the judgment of God is according to truth, and the word is truth. So if we are going to make a judgment, it has to be according to the word. And then it says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So if you are making a judgment and it's a hypocritical one, don't think you're going to escape it because you're pushing it off on somebody else and not looking at yourself first, is what I take from that one. That's Romans 2, 1 through 3. Also in Romans 2, verse 21 through 24. We'll take a look at that. Romans 2, 21 through 24. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Is the question. So what he's telling us here is, if you're going to say something, you can't be doing it too. So that's the whole idea of making a judgment, is if you're going to say this person shouldn't steal, and if you can't be stealing. If you make these calls and you're in the right, then you cannot participate in those things. And then it says in verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So again, hypocritical people are being spoken of in these groupings of passages when you're making judgment calls. So they have to be, look at yourself, measure yourself, and then make these calls. Make sure you straighten out your own life before you do. So the idea of not judging would be false. It's just hypocritical judging is the problem. Now the next one was judgment on opinions. So that we talked a little bit about that in class, that it's a very, opinions are a great, have a great birth, so to speak. They have a wide range. And in this passage in Romans 14, 3 through 9, or 3 through 6, Romans 14, 3 through 6, it talks about a comment, something we've talked about before. I'll read it. We must not judge another based solely on our opinion. So we have an opinion about something, and then we're going to look at this brother and say, hey, that guy can't be doing that because this is my standard, and he's a little bit below my standard, so I'm going to make a judgment call, and I'm going to say that person is sinning because of what I believe. So we're going to take a look at that, and then we'll get the insight we need to make these kind of calls on opinions. It says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So here they're talking about meat sacrificed to idols. So you're a Jew, you have all these things in those days that you could not do, couldn't eat this, couldn't do that, couldn't this. And now you're mixed in with Gentiles, and they're sacrificing to idols, and then you obviously have this bias of eating meat, certain kinds of meat anyways, let alone ones that were sacrificed to false gods. So you see your brother come out, and he don't care. He goes to the market, buys some meat, doesn't ask where it comes from, says, hey, come on over for barbecue. And the guy's like, whoa, this guy just bought meat from, does he know where this came from? So that's kind of what they're talking about. In our realm, we have to put it to the area of opinions in that same type of teaching venue. All right, so verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Is his own master he standeth or falleth? Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So they're talking about opinions. Some people say Sunday is the holy day where you have to, you know, do no work and so forth like that. And some say it doesn't make any difference. We've seen this shift over the past 40 years just in stores that are open on Sunday now, and they didn't used to be. So we've seen that actually happen in our lifetime where that has that persuasion has gone that way. So he's saying this is going to happen. You're going to have people have a difference of opinion. Somebody might not work at all, and they don't like you, the idea of you working in that particular realm. So in verse 6, he that gathereth, that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. So that's the idea that both of them are correct in the way they feel, it says here. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think God is okay with that. And there isn't a particular commandment that says it is. And then someone says, oh, there has to be a day of rest. Sunday has to be the day of rest. So both of them are okay. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So it tells us right there, if we're going to make a judgment on matters of opinion, we have to look at the scriptures and then see, make a call once again before we approach somebody about that on an opinion. Like it says here, it may be in that realm where it's okay, and that's what we have to decide. But we still have to make a judgment. God will deal with all mankind. That is the thing we have to understand. In Romans 14, 10 through 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So before we start throwing stones, we have to make sure that we understand we're going to stand before God with what we're doing and saying. And it says in verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So if we have an opinion that differs from us, and I can't bind it on you, and there's nothing I can find that well, it's not what I believe, it's you're down here and I'm up here, but I can't put a finger on it, there's nothing that really says that line is, that person's crossed the line into sin, then we have to let it go because God will be the ultimate judge on how short your shorts have to be, right? I mean, that's always a big one. So, we must not judge in matters that are indifferent to the Lord. So we have to be able to search the scriptures and find out if these things are actually indifferent. We have, we just went through that class on expediency, and it gives us, and generic and specific commands, it gives us the tools we need to make these kind of judgment calls. So, in Romans 14, 13 through 19, it says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore." So, it says, don't judge each other anymore, but it tells us how what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block in the or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So that's what we have to do when we're making opinionated judgment calls, is not put a stumbling block in the brother's way. So, in verse 14, "I know that I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself," talking about the meats, "but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him that is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat," what you're doing basically, "now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another." So right there he tells us that these things are going to happen, but we can't grieve another person with our ideas of whatever the particular subject may be, even though we may feel strongly about it. But if it's not something we can point to, and it is in that realm of opinion, then your job then would be to look out for the other person and not cause that person to stumble. And then go for peace and joy and righteousness in Christ and in the Holy Ghost. So, that's an important thing for us to remember as we're making judgment calls. Not to be a hypocrite, and to, in matters of opinion, is to search ourselves and then watch out for the brother first, if there's a difference. So let, in Colossians 2:16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." So all those things people will have difference of opinions on. And it says, "Let no man therefore judge in those things, but go for the peace and the joy and the righteousness, and watch out for the other guy." So that's an important thing. And that's under your opinion, judging on opinions. So, the last one would be righteousness. Jesus commanded that we are to judge righteous judgment. So right there, Jesus tells us that that's what we're to do. We have to know what righteousness is, first of all, and then make those kind of judgments. Now, of course, they're not always going to be pleasant, because when you're talking to somebody in your family or outside in the world or somebody in the church, you get that sick feeling in your stomach when you've got a righteous call to make and you have to go talk to somebody. And that's why it's so difficult to go to that person and write to that person and say, "Here's what I see, or here's what I know is what's going on," and then confront them with that. You know, you want to run away, and you want to start telling your mind that, "I really don't have to do this. Maybe it's the big, maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't understand it. Maybe there's something I don't..." You try to talk yourself out of it, but it has to be done. In John 7:24, "Judge not according..." your judgments. We will be judged by the word of Christ, and that's the important thing. Everything we need to make righteous judgments are found right there in the scriptures. John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." So if you don't receive God's, Christ's words through in the Bible, then that's what's going to judge you. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So our duty would be then to know what Jesus and God is spoken to us. And that is searching the scriptures. So in John 15, 6 through 7. Am I going slow enough for the scriptures? I see some people writing because my wife says, you have to count to four. I can't do that. I could say it twice and kind of go, feels like an eternity. John 15, 6 and 7. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask that ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So the idea is to abide in God's word and not be cut off. Because what happens when you cut a branch off? Withers away and dies. Then you burn it. Remember that in all this, that God cannot lie. He won't tell us lies. He won't give us things that we can't accomplish. He won't give us commands and judge and tell us to make righteous judgments and then not give us the tools we need to do it. It's up to us. In Titus 1, 1 through 3, Titus 1, 1 through 3, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, I hope, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So he's given us, and he's manifested his word through the preaching and the other areas that he saw fit to give it to us. And we have the word of God. And it says in John 8, 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth, of course, we know is the word, and the word will make us free. Christ is the righteous judge, and he will judge us in that. So let's look at some quick examples of righteous judgment. These are things we can know and make judgments about through the Word of God. So you run across a situation and you've got to make a judgment. So just I got three or four just simple ones. Plan of salvation is something that we can talk about and make a judgment about. Has this person heard the gospel, believed it, repented of their sins, confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, and been baptized? And then the other one is we have to make sure that they live faithfully. So we can make a judgment call on that. If you've done these things, then he will add you to the church, because that's what he tells us in another place. If you haven't done these things, then those are the things you have to do. So we can make that type of a judgment. If we come across a religious person that says, no, you don't have to do that, then that would be a problem. You can make that call and say with a surety that this is what has to be done, and then find the passages and show them. Another tricky one is on the Lord's Supper, because a lot of people may participate in the Lord's Supper, a lot of groups, but they may do it once a month, once a quarter to save time, or to schedule a Lord's Supper day, or schedule a baptism. Well, we're going to have everybody baptized on the third Sunday of the month after services for those that want to do it. You know, that kind of thing. We can talk about those sort of thing. Talk about singing. That's another big button for everybody out there that has to have instruments. We can make a judgment and say you're supposed to sing, and we have the reasons why. And then assembling together. To assemble together, we have all the scriptures we need to say that you need to be there. You need to go and you need to be with other people to edify them, to build them up, to show your shining faces, and let me look over and say, wow, I hope I can be like this person. I hope I can be like that person. I hope I can pray like that person. Because if you're sitting home by yourself, reading your Bible and doing your own thing, you're not going to have those examples. You're not going to have that strength that a group has. And you won't have the questions. Because all that we do up here in these lessons and teaching and classes is just give you enough to say, wow, I never thought of it that way. I think I want to take a look at this more. So it's just basically, it's not everything that it says about the subject, but hopefully it will spur your curiosity to open the book and find out what you're doing, if you're doing the things that you need to do. We need to live our lives accordance with the will of God. In Titus 2, 11 and 12, that's Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So right there is our formula. In this present world, that we are to deny ungodliness, we're to deny worldly lusts, they come in all forms, we should live soberly. Not talking about drinking or drunkenness, meaning you have to be able to make the right judgments and the right calls and to do it with a clear mind. And we have to do all these things while we're living here in this world. In Matthew 7:21, it tells us something that's very disturbing that a lot of people don't like to hear or they don't understand. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So that's the big one. Not everybody out there is going to get to heaven, even if they do proclaim, Lord, Lord, look at all the things we've done. But we have to do his will. So we must live a life of service to God. We know that to be a fact. Teaching others to do the same. In order to do that, of course, we have to make judgments. We have to judge them on according to what the Word says. And first, we have to judge ourselves to make sure that we're following the teaching of the Father that is in heaven. Once we do that, then the idea of making judgments and judging others, so to speak, there shouldn't be a problem with that at all. Because we're told we have to. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Amen. So right there, he tells us we're supposed to go out. And if we go out, then we're going to have to make judgments like, is this person sinning or is this person righteous? Is he lost or are they saved? Have they turned away or do they need to be regained? I mean, all these things that come up have to be discussed. So if you are not a child of God, then you heard, you have to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and then the people in this room will help keep you in the right relationship through the teachings of Jesus Christ. So if you are a person that has stepped away, you make that judgment call in your own head, and you need to be regained, we're all ready and willing to help you with that too. If you have any prayers or any needs, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.